David, dance, I will dance, I will dance. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glory and your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name.
Be your glory and name. Lord, help us just to hang out in your Spirit.
drew a picture of the Lord coming in a police car, and there was a red siren that surrounded what the enemy was trying to do. So we prayed the blood of Jesus over the place to bind any evil that the Lord wanted to stop here and to not let it in. But also it showed the Lord blasting him with his holiness. And so I thought maybe for a few minutes we could just praise the Lord and focus on him for his holiness and ask his holiness to come penetrate us and reveal in us, because this was a yellow that he blasted in, so reveal like light any darkness that is in us to so that we can repent. Daniel, you want to come up and show your picture? Or you can just see Daniel's picture from where it's at.
I think I should share the vision I had in my office at this time, too. I saw the enemy with it was like an arrow that was on fire, trying to destroy God's people, and he like threw it, and it went into the back of a man. But as it passed through the man, God turned it to his glory, and he used it as a fire of repentance and purging. And he began to search the inside of the man with that fire. And as the man cooperated with him, it transformed it into God's fire, and it came out the front of him in the power of God. So just let that fire transform you right now.
I just feel this morning the Lord's saying to someone, stop being comfortable. Stop being comfortable. The door will close and it'll be too late.
Let the kids go to their class right now.
But the Lord did something for me Friday, and I figured I'd felt like telling along, you know, different things. But of course, Trix and I was out again Friday afternoon walking. We were over there by Kelloggsville Elementary School up on 52nd Street. We were heading north. We got, just before we hit the road, I hooked her back up. We went west, which would be left. And then we crossed the road to the north side, walked almost toward the vision. There's a driving range over there. And that's one of the spots I let her run loose, you know, because, you know, big old open field and stuff. And I unhooked her. She ran up ahead, and I was following her best I can. And she kept stopping to make sure I was following, and all of a sudden she disappeared into a bunch of shrubs or shrubbery or brush pile. So I waited. Sometimes she disappears in those things, and then she comes back out. But she didn't come back out this time. Well, 15, 20, 30 minutes later, I started looking for her. I stayed in the open in case she did come out, I could holler at her. I started looking and hollering, listening for a digging noise. Nothing. So I figured somewhere along the line she somehow got toward the vision, went in one of the places, garages. I walked over and nope, no dog here, and walked another place, asked to use the telephone, because on her tag is Thomas's cell phone number. I don't have a cell phone, so. And I asked, I says, did anybody call? Yep. Somehow, I don't know how she did it or how the Lord allowed her to do it, she crossed 52nd Street heading back toward the house by herself. Usually, if we drive somewhere and we get separated, she goes back to the truck. But the truck was sitting at the house this time. And 52nd Street by that school at 3:45, I didn't call it till about close to 4:15. But somebody grabbed her after she crossed the street. And like I said, I don't know if I'm going to give her some intelligence. I don't know if she stopped and looked both ways before she crossed the road, or there was no traffic coming, or what. All I know is the Lord got her across that street without getting hit. And, I mean, she knew where the house was at. And, like I said, I mean, after I got home, she's laying there like nothing's wrong. Like, she didn't do nothing, you know, major. If I'd have seen her crossing the road, I'd have had a fit. But I told somebody at PetSmart after we got up there about 6:30, 7 o'clock that I got what the Lord did for us, and freaked her out big time. So, like I said, I wanted to say this, and Lord protects. I mean, I'm glad she didn't get hit, because if she did, I wouldn't be here today. I don't know what, you know, but like I said, I'm very thankful the Lord allowed her to get across that street.
broken heart and a contrite spirit, you have yet to deny. Your heart of mercy beats with love stronger, let your river flow by your spirit, Lord. Now we cry that your mercies fall from heaven. Sweet mercies flow from heaven. New mercies for today. Shower them down, Lord, as we pray. Let your mercies fall from heaven. Sweet mercies flow from heaven. New mercies for today. Shower them down, Lord, as we pray. Let your mercies fall from heaven. Sweet mercies flow from heaven. New mercies for today. Shower them down, Lord, as we pray. Let your mercies fall from heaven. Sweet mercies flow from heaven. New mercies for today. Shower them down, Lord, as we pray. Confession, Lord, we are weak, so very weak, but you are strong. And though we have nothing, Lord, to pay at your feet, you
your love and your mercy, your love. upon us. Chosen generation,
march through the land. A love of creation is long for your unveiling the power. Would you release your anointing? Oh God, let this be. Let your glory fall in this room. Let it go forth from here to the nation. Let your fragrance rest in this place as we gather. Father of creation, unfold your sovereign plan. Raise up a chosen generation that will march through the land. All of creation is one. Your glory fall in this room. Let it go forth from here to the nation. Let your fragrance rest in this place as we gather to see your face. Ruler of the nations, the world has yet to see the full release of your promise. The church in victory, turn to us, Lord, and touch.
Let it go forth from here. Sins of our nation, Lord, we are guilty of a prayerless life. We've turned away our hearts from your laws and taken for granted your unchanging grace. So turn away this workers from our country. We say that we've robbed you, and our storehouses are bare. Gates of heaven rebuke the devourer, so we may not be destroyed. You said that if we humble ourselves and begin to pray, you would heal our barren land and cleanse us with your rain. Don't pass us by. Let this be the generation, Lord, that lifts up your name to all the world. Save us, oh God. Save us. From your laws, taken for granted your unchanging grace. Turn away this curse from our country. Know that we robbed you, but our storehouses are bare. Open wide the floodgates of heaven. Rebuke the devourer, so we may not be destroyed. You said that if we save us faithfulness. Let the fear of the Lord be our
this gigantic cross, and it was made of gold, and it was like lit up all around it. And it was leaned on flat, and there was a grandfather who was walking down this cross. And down at his side was a little grandchild who he was hanging on his hand. And they're just walking down this cross. And the grandfather is talking to him. And it was just like a walk out in the park or something. And the little one was looking up at the sky in awe of everything that was going on around him. And it was like he was looking in Jesus' eyes. This is just something I felt like I should share with you.
Can you read Matthew 17:14-21?
Matthew 17:14-21. And when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man, kneeling down to him, and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is lunatic and sore vexed. For oft times he falls into the fire, and oft into the water. And I brought him to your disciples, and they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart, and said, Why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, Because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, Remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit, this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting.
Harvey says I'm going to speak. We'll see. We'll see if that happens. Nothing should be impossible to you. I want to talk about that little mustard seed this morning because God gave me some new understanding about that this morning. Hear the compassion of Jesus. You hear the compassion. man. The Holy Spirit got on Cecil when he read it. Because I could just feel Jesus looking at that boy. And you know what? He wasn't weeping because of the boy. Jesus wasn't sad because of the boy. He knew he was about to heal him. He was sad because his disciples had no faith. He was sad because they didn't heal him. The mustard seed. Why did Jesus pick a mustard seed? It's the tiniest seed there is. Why did he choose the mustard seed? To tell us that that's how much faith we needed. One reason is because it isn't us that does anything, it's him. We only need a little teeny weeny seed, and he'll do the great big miracles.
That's right.
It's all resting on him.
Oh!
Look at Matthew 13, 30 and 31. It's just 31. Another parable he put forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a grain of a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds. But when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs, and becomes a tree, so the birds of the air can come and lodge in the branches thereof. You know that that little mustard seed can grow to 10 foot tall. Herbs just don't do that. You can grow an herb garden in your kitchen. They don't get very big. But the mustard seed is the greatest of all the herb seeds. It grows 10 foot tall, becomes a tree, and the birds can lodge in its branches. When your faith becomes big enough for birds to lodge in the branches of your faith, you know what a bird does? Well, Noah had a dove on his ark and he sent it on a mission. What do we do with carrier pigeons? Send them with a message. When birds lodge in your faith, you can begin to send the Holy Spirit of God wherever he wants to go, to do whatever he wants to do. But he works through your faith. So if you don't have the faith, he's just stuck in the ground. Because you're not sending him. The mustard seed is a good spice. How many like mustard on your sandwich? It's really good for you. Did you know that it's good for weight loss? Mustard can speed up your metabolism, make you burn calories. It is resistive to all disease. Mustard resists disease. It grows every place in the whole world, hot weather, cold weather. It will grow in any kind of soil. It's really sturdy. And it's an overtaker. When you put it in a field with other herbs, the mustard seed will multiply and overtake the whole field. That's what your faith can do. One little piece of faith and a whole field of sin and opposition and problems. One little mustard seed can overtake everything. They call it a troublesome seed because if one handful of mustard seed gets in a farmer's crop, it takes over everything else and destroys his crop. So it's a troublemaker. God likes to be a troublemaker to the enemy. Look at Luke 18. If you're there, Cecil, you want to read verse 1 through 8?
Luke 18, 1 through 8. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, there was in a city a judge, which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, Yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, Hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, shall he find faith on the earth?
I love this little woman because she just would not give up. She knew that judge had what she needed. And she was not going to leave him alone until he did what she was asking him to do. That is persistent, stubborn faith. And when it says, lest she weary me, I looked that up in one commentary, and it said that that meant like being a prize fighter. You know how you win that prize fight? You punch and punch and punch and punch till you knock him out. So you need to put that little mustard seed in your hand. And when the enemy comes along, you take that mustard seed of faith and you punch him with it. You be a prize fighter with what you're after with God. Okay, I want to say something about that, though. What is faith? Faith is not believing anything you want.
That's right.
There was a story of a man that heard about the mustard seed, that it could actually uproot a tree. If I say to that tree, be thou moved, it's going to move, uproot. So he said, well, I have that kind of faith, I'm going to believe. And he looked out the window at a tree, and he opened up his door, and he said, in the morning when I wake up, you're going to be gone. Get off my property. So the man went to bed full of believing. Believing isn't necessarily faith.
Right.
Depends on what you're believing. So he woke up in the morning and he ran to the window and he looked out and the tree was still there. See, God does not answer selfish prayers.
Right.
He doesn't answer whatever you want him to do.
Right.
But when we pray according to his will,
right,
we know we have the petition,
right,
that we're seeking. So we need to know what he wants us
there
to pray, what he wants us to hold on to. How do we find out? Look at Luke 11. Verse 9 through 13. And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asks, receives. And he that seeks, finds. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. I'm going to stop there for a minute. The first thing you want to do is ask. Ask God. What do you want me to believe? What do you want me to hold on to?
There you go.
What are you saying to me? See, if you lay down your will, God wants you to know his will for your life. He wants to give you a word, a promise, something to claim. He wants to do that. You can do that right now. Ask him right now. God, what do you want me to pray for? What do you want me to hold on to? What do you want me to put that seed of faith in my hand about? Give me something right now. Just ask him and wait a minute. See what comes to your mind. It may surprise you. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, would you give him a stone? If he asks you for a fish, would you give him a snake? Or if he should ask for an egg, would you offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? If you did not get something from God, here's the promise. He'll give you his Holy Spirit. If he's your Father and you want to serve him, you want to know him, ask him for his Holy Spirit this morning.
Yeah.
He will give his Holy Spirit to you. Some people are afraid of what we call the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But if you're asking God for his Spirit, he's not going to give you a devil,
right,
a serpent. He's going to give you his Spirit.
Amen.
What is God asking of you? What does he want you to pray? What does he want you to hold on to? Now, if he's giving you what to ask for, it says, ask, seek, knock. How do we seek it, Lord? I know what you want me to ask for. How do I seek it? How? What do I pray? Do I say, give me this thing today? No. Do I say, give me the money to go buy something? No. How do you want me to seek it, Lord? Tell me exactly what to pray for, what to lay my faith on. How do I seek it, God? Seek him for the way. Seek him for exactly what to pray, or what he told you to ask for.
Right.
How do I pray for that? And then when you have that answer, you have your faith seed in your hand. Start knocking on your door. Like that widow with the judge, start knocking on your door with your faith.
Amen.
God said he was going to do this. God, you said you're going to do this. God, open this door. You said you would open this door. Lord, I'm knocking until you open my door, because you said you would.
Amen.
Don't stop knocking. He said, if you ask, and if you seek, and if you knock, it's going to open to you. James 1. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, the trying of your faith works patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you might be able, you might be perfect, entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that gives to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavers is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. You see, God is willing to give you a word. He is willing to give you that thing. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. So your faith has to get tested. Your faith has to get tested to be faith. If God just walked up and said, Brother Harvey, I'm going to give you $1 million. Oh, thank you, God. How do I pray for that one? You know, that's what you want me to ask for? Now let me seek you. How do I pray for that? What do I say, God? How do I pray? Well, all I want you to do is say, Lord, I will not try to get it myself. I'll wait for you to bring it. That's all you do. Keep telling me, reminding me that I'm going to give it to you, and believe that, okay? Now hang on to that. Now, if he just turned around and handed him the check, where's the faith? There's the proof. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. Unseen things. It's got to be tested. So he says, rejoice when the testing comes. Rejoice. Be patient. Learn some patience. See, not only does he want to give you the thing you're praying for, he wants to teach you the character of patience.
Amen.
Tribulation worketh patience. How can you be patient when you're in tribulation? By hanging on to your faith.
Right.
By hanging on to what he said. So what happens next in Harvey Hampton's life, who's maybe making $1,000 a week, doing pretty good, he's comfortable. He goes, woohoo, I'm going to get $10 million. Oh, that was $1 million. I'm sorry. Don't exaggerate your faith. $1
million.
What happens next?
Excuse me.
He loses his job. He loses everything. And he says, but God, you said I was going to get $1 million. You didn't say I was going to lose the thousand. Testing of your faith. Now, the unstable man begins to doubt. He begins to say, I didn't hear God. I must have misunderstood him. God's not going to give me $1 million. I'm just going to be poor. And God lied to me. I don't trust you anymore, God. You deceived me. No. You know what? If that's what you want to believe, you're going to stay poor for a very long time. But if you pick up your faith and say, oh, I just knew that would happen. No problem. That just proves God said it. Because he is going to test your faith. So when the opposite thing happens, it's proof that he really said that. Yep, that's how God works. He's testing my faith. So guess what? I don't care if I lost my job, because you know what? I'm about to get $1 million anyway. So who cares? So I'm trusting God. I won't lose my house. God will take care of it. And then the rent comes to you, and you lose your house. I'll knock you off your feet a little bit. You've got to punch that devil when he says, you never heard God. You're not going to get it. And that's when you take that faith seed in your hand and you start fighting. Liar! Let God be true and all men are liars.
Right.
I will not lay down my faith. It is coming.
Amen.
You don't need boxing gloves. You need flesh holding the Word of God and standing in your flesh in the Word of God, fighting for what He said He's going to do in your life. It's going to be tested. Everything is going to come against it. You are fine. God's finding out. Do you believe Him? Or do you believe circumstances?
There you go.
Word says, trust not in oppression.
Amen.
Trust not in oppression. Trust in the Word that God said to you.
Amen.
An unstable man is like the waves of the sea. I'm up today because I feel good. Tomorrow I don't feel so good. I'm not sure God is real. I don't think He likes me anymore. And tomorrow I'm up, up and down. It's roller coaster religion. It's when you're in the valley, you get to prove you have faith.
Right.
The just shall live by faith.
Right.
It's not when you see it. It's when you don't see it.
Right.
That you prove your faith. So put that seed in your hand and fight. Hold fast. Hold fast. You want to please God?
Oh, yeah.
Is there anything in your life that thrills you more than feeling the presence of God smiling at you? That's what I live for. That's what I live for. To know that God is smiling at me. I'm not very happy on days that I know I make Him cry. I make Him frown. That hurts. I like to make Him happy.
Amen.
Without faith, it's impossible to please Him.
Right.
So you should get excited when your faith is tested. It's an opportunity to show Him how much you trust Him and make Him smile on you. Last night we had worship here. I didn't think it was very good. I didn't like it. I was bored. I didn't feel good. I didn't want to dance. I kept saying, this is really funny, because I didn't feel the presence of God, but I sat down and wrote out a vision. It's absolutely unreal to write out a vision of what something feels like while you don't feel it. You know, that's faith. But in this vision, God took me into my closet, and all the clothes were illuminated, and He said, this is your Mission Possible closet. You can wear whichever garment I put on you as an anointing for whatever I'm sending you to do. And then He had me put on this beautiful, glowing, awesome, lit up, powerful robe draped with a sash of many colors. And then He had me put my hands in a box. You know when dandelions turn white, you can blow them, or the little white fuzzies? Well, this box was like full of things like that. And He just wanted me to wash my hands in that until all that softness soaked into them. And while this is all going on, the lights of the garment are soaking into me. Now, I'm writing these words down, but I don't feel any of it. That's kind of impossible. I'm writing it down going, sure wish I felt what I'm writing that I'm feeling, but I don't feel it. It's like I'm writing somebody else's story, you know? But He's given me all the words. Then I look down at my clothes, because I'm wondering, what is my mission? And I look down at my clothes, and I'm wearing a house dress with a bib apron. And this was all mothering. It was a mothering anointing. My feet were bare and they were dirty, like I'd been out walking in the dirt, playing in the garden, whatever. I had a feeling of joy and laughter. And the Lord said, I'm preparing you because Janiyah's having her baby in the morning, and you're going to be having to mother these children while she's in the hospital, and when she comes home, because she's having a cesarean. I'm going to be on a mission of mothering for a little while, or grandmothering. They're pretty much the same. So He put all this softness in my hand. Now, toward those children, the Holy Spirit in me is going to be so tender and so sweet. He's going to be in me to say, oh, I love you, my little girl. You're so precious. And then that devil comes along and attacks, and it's like, you see this? One hand is for the enemy. Punch him out till he falls down. And the gentleness and goodness of God is toward those he loves, toward his people. So pick up your mustard seed. Whatever it is that God's told you to hang on to, pick it up. And don't quit punching that devil till he falls. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Yeah.
I can do nothing on my own. You know that little mustard seed is nothing until it's planted in the soil of your faith. And you know the one sure thing about that little mustard seed, come wind or rain, I don't care if you plant it in sand or mud, hot or cold, do you know it comes in four colors? It comes in brown, white, yellow, and black. Any race, any person. Isn't that amazing? You cover the nations with the colors. This, physically, if you plant a mustard seed it in soil, it is going to come up. There is no doubt about it. If you put it in the dirt, that thing is hardy and strong. No matter if it rains or not, it's coming up and it's going to grow. Your faith is the same thing. If you plant it in Jesus,
amen,
it's coming up. You put it in the right soil. You didn't put it in what you can do. You put it in what he can do.
Right.
You put it in what he said he's going to do. It cannot fail. It must come up. So you just punch that liar out when he tells you anything different. You punch opposition when it comes. Say, thanks for testing me. Now I know God said it. So that's all I have to say this morning. I love the worship. Oh my gosh. Fantastic. God is in the house. That's awesome. If you need to go, you can go. If y'all want to keep worshiping, you can keep worshiping. I am probably going to leave pretty soon because I have a whole army of people coming in to be present for the birth of the baby tomorrow. So I may slip out soon.